It began with a hangover Sunday. Marion Power, a 36-year-old London freelance writer, found herself surrounded by empty wine bottles and Kardashians on TV, feeling hopelessly behind her milestone-collecting peers. Despite outward success, inside, she felt lost and irrelevant. This crisis sparked an audacious experiment. She wouldn't just read self-help books as she had for years, she would live them, following every instruction to the letter. One book a month for a year, systematically fixing her flaws. By year's end, she'd be perfect. What started as a neat 12-month plan spiraled into a 16-month emotional roller coaster that would turn her life inside out and challenge everything she believed about happiness and self-improvement. The experiment began with Susan Jeffers' Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, leading to the most random fear-fighting to-do list imaginable: stand-up comedy, watching horror films, skydiving, and posing nude as a life model. Each experience pushed her further outside her comfort zone. Surprisingly, nude modeling left her feeling empowered, while a spin class with people with rock-hard calves pedaling furiously in expensive Lycra proved more humiliating than being naked in front of strangers. Her comedy debut came after a weekend course in a Paddington pub basement. Despite her lifelong hatred of public speaking, she found herself under the spotlight, telling jokes about her month of fear-fighting. To her amazement, they laughed. Not uncontrollably, but genuine laughter. The experience filled her with unprecedented pride. Yet when she finally jumped from a plane, falling through minus 15 degree air at 150 miles per hour, rather than feeling exhilarated, she landed furious. "I'm never doing that again." Little did she know that falling out of the sky would seem like a walk in the park compared to what was coming next. Marianne's formative money memory was her father's cruel game of throwing cash in the air. Keep what you catch, but if it touches the floor, it's gone, only to deny them keeping it. This explained her later financial chaos. Money was for throwing away, not keeping. A financial health quiz confirmed her troubled relationship with money, scoring 6 out of 39. Her debt totaled $15,109.60. $6,000 to her sister, $7,000 business overdraft, and $2,109 on her current account. Her statements revealed constant financial energy leaks: daily coffees, restaurants, beauty treatments, designer clothes, and untraceable cash withdrawals. Her spending stemmed from deep insecurity, buying clothes because she felt unattractive, squandering money because she felt incompetent. Seeking solutions, she turned to The Secret and its promise of effortless manifestation through the law of attraction. Following its ask, believe, receive formula, she visualized incoming checks and created a fake 100,000 universe check. Her friend Sarah questioned the book's logic, noting its troubling suggestion that war victims simply weren't thinking positively enough. Creating a vision board proved revealing. She struggled to identify genuine desires beyond superficial wants. She refocused on happiness over materialism, and within days received assignments matching elements on her board. While the manifestation showed promise, that 100,000 check remained elusive. Marianne's childhood rejection by playground peers left her avoiding similar situations for years. To overcome this fear, she embraced rejection therapy, deliberately seeking daily rejection through 16 planned scenarios. Starting with asking for free coffee, she progressed to bolder challenges with her sister Helen, playing a stranger's double bass, pulling her own pint, and joining unknown groups. Each attempt surprisingly led to acceptance. Her ultimate test came in approaching an attractive man at a coffee shop. Despite initial hesitation, she connected with him, leading to wine and a good night kiss. Though he was returning to Athens, he wanted to see her again. This experience revealed her key insight. She hadn't faced much actual rejection because she'd been failing by default, rejecting herself before others had the chance. By October, Marianne's self-help journey had taken a severe toll. She developed a persistent illness with fever and cough, but rather than accepting her doctor's simple virus diagnosis, she searched for deeper emotional meanings, a common trap in self-help thinking. Her obsession had become all-consuming. Inspirational quotes replaced friends' updates on social media, and relationships suffered. Despite following Stephen Covey's principles religiously, quitting alcohol, exercising, and practicing daily kindness, everything seemed to go wrong. Her technology failed, her writing suffered, and the pressure to live perfectly only deepened her self-loathing, leading to dark thoughts of suicide. The crisis peaked during a night out with her sister Helen, who bluntly advised her to seek medical help and consider antidepressants. Following this wake-up call, she retreated to Ireland, spending 3 days in bed, haunted by feelings of failure. After a quiet holiday season, Marianne realized her self-help journey hadn't created the perfect version of herself she'd imagined. Following a therapist's recommendation, she read Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. Tolle described how most people live with an endless critical voice that judges and complains, focused on past regrets or future anxieties rather than the present moment. Observing her own mental chatter, she discovered relentless internal criticism. The fat record at dawn, the lazy record at breakfast, work-related self-doubt all day, and drinking guilt at night. While watching TV and berating herself about pasta, she had an epiphany. She was attached to her problems. Tolle explains that our ego, the false identity built from our thoughts, craves specialness, even through misery. By month's end, she experienced unexpected peace. On her morning walks, she noticed everything: sounds, sensations, trees. She discovered that happiness lies not in striving, but in embracing each moment, savoring the process rather than the outcome, the sound of laughter, the simple pleasure of toast. Standing before the mirror, Marianne practiced Louise Hay's affirmation, "I love and approve of myself." She examined her body without the usual harsh criticism, the drooping breasts, the belly that showed her long-term relationship with cheese on toast and wine, the unshaven legs and stretch marks. Instead of berating herself, she smiled and repeated the affirmation. Her journey seemed disastrous: mounting debt, decreased productivity, weight gain, magical thinking about the universe providing, and a lost friendship. Yet at the Hoffman Process Therapy Retreat, sharing her flaws with strangers became transformative, showing her she was accepted as she was. She grew tired of trying to eradicate her bad bits, striving for perfection, forcing positivity when she felt grumpy, and feeling guilty about simple pleasures. After 16 months, she could look in the mirror and be okay with what she saw. But it was time to step away from her reflection, both real and metaphorical, and embrace life as it came, imperfections and all. Sometimes the greatest self-help is accepting that you don't need to be helped at all.